Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, listeners. You have Kathy Holloway Hill with you for the next 60 minutes on the Living by Design show. I am so excited. Spring is in the air. Spring is in the air. And, okay, I'm sorry, I won't sing. But it is so beautiful over here on this side of the country. So I'm happy that you're going to be joining me this evening, whether you're in the chat room or dialed in or listening to the archive downloads. Welcome, welcome. We are in month two of our Get Motivated theme. So I am extremely happy about this theme. We've had a lot of comments and emails about this theme. It's helping quite a lot of people, and I'm very, very, very excited that it is making a difference in your lives, because that is what this show is always about. If it's to be, it's up to me, and that's what we want you guys to do, is take control of your life and believe that you can do whatever it is you have in your arsenal of dreams. So I want to make one quick announcement before I bring my guest on the line. We will be, or I, Kathy Holloway Hill, will be attending an event this coming weekend, and I'm really excited about this event. This coming weekend, I am going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana, and it's going to be a Mother's Day retreat, and it's going to be Friday and Saturday and also on Sunday. So it's the full 3 days, and I'm going to be speaking on Friday night and Saturday, so I'm really excited about that, and it's going to be at Light of the World Christian Church. So if you go to my website, www.chollowayhill.com, then there's details there about the event. So I hope to see you there. For all of my Indianapolis listeners, I really want to see you. I know I have conducted quite a few coaching sessions with individuals in Indianapolis. So I hope to see you there this weekend, Mother's Day weekend, on May 7th and 8th and 9th. Okay, so moving on with our guest this evening, I'm very, very excited that Denise Hart is going to be joining me this evening. She's a life coach and also a business coach, and she coaches women and coachpreneurs is what she calls it. And I'm just so excited to have her join me to talk about this theme of Get Motivated, because I know she has done quite a bit of work in this area. And she takes individuals' big ideas for their life and business and makes them real, and I love that tagline. So I am going to bring Denise on the line so that we can start our Get Motivated discussion. Hello, Denise, are you there?
Hi, Kathy, I am certainly here. It's a pleasure to meet you and all of your listeners.
Thank you for joining me this evening. I am so excited to have you here.
Well, I'm super excited to be here for Get Motivated. I love that phrase that you said, if it's to be, it's up to me.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is.
That is for sure. There's really, you know, our first service is to ourselves and to our ideas and to our dreams, and once we commit to them and bring those into fruition, it's really the only way that other people can be served.
That's right. That is so true, Denise. And I also tell my listeners and my clients that, because I'm always giving out a lot of information, I am just chock full of information. I love my work. I love what I do. I'm constantly learning, constantly learning. I'm in the process of going back to school, getting my master's in psychology, and I'm just fascinated by the mind. I'm just truly fascinated. So I'm always learning. But and one of the other taglines I like to use is that information without implementation leads to frustration.
I hear you. I love it.
Well, and you know, it's true, because we learn these things and we don't use them. And you know, this retreat this weekend, it's going to be on a spiritual level. So, you know, it's going to be at a church, and that's fine with me because I'm very spiritual. But I know one of the things we do, Denise, you know, the majority of us do, we go to church every Sunday and we get filled up with the Spirit, and, you know, we're all motivated and inspired and renewed and refreshed. And then we go back home and fall into our same habits.
Yeah, yep, you're absolutely right. I think many people, myself included, have been guilty of doing that and not remaining connected or maintaining the flow of whatever we encounter, whether it be from a weekly church visit or a workshop or a retreat like you're going to be conducting this weekend, and making sure that we keep the connection and keep the flow. I call it keep the mojo flowing. One of the biggest challenges.
It is. It really is. And I think one of the things, Denise, in my opinion, that may be contributing to that, or contributing to the lack of that, is the commitment level. I think the commitment level is very, very important, because oftentimes people say, well, I want this and I want that. Okay, well, wanting it is one thing, but how committed are you, and why do you want it? Because if you just want to have a better job and you can't get along with your current coworkers, what good is it going to do?
Yeah, very, very true. Absolutely.
So you have to kind of look inside yourself and ask the hard core questions. Why do you want it, for one, and how committed are you to getting it?
I know that when in my practice and working not only individually but doing, you know, conducting group classes and group workshops, one of the things that has cropped up over and over again, Kathy, is that people do want to make a commitment. I've recognized that, but there's this other piece. The other piece that I've discovered is that they still have a level or a degree of fear about pursuing something that might not be readily accepted in their social or familial circle, and so that requires courage.
Yeah, it's definitely a good word that is a requirement, is courage. You're right.
I find that's a good place to start, helping someone to build their courage so that they can actually make the full commitment that they'd like to. You know, they want to. They talk about it, but I don't know if you've had this experience, but they may have some of that inner talk that says, oh, you know, maybe their parents wouldn't approve of it, or their spouse or their mate, or, you know, so that courage piece becomes central to getting people to recognize that they themselves are self-sabotaging their ability to stay motivated.
Well, so what are some of the tips that you give out, Denise, in that arena? Because that is a big, 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 big deal. Courage is huge. And that's because fear is gripping. I mean, fear grips you. It's actually the number one reason that people fail to achieve their goals is fear.
Sure, absolutely. I recommend, you know, a lot of times things are specific to an individual, but on sort of a general scale. If I have a client who is gripped by fear, I ask them to write a short monologue, do a little exercise where they're actually writing down for themselves what it's going to look like, feel like, sound like, the impact it's going to have once that goal is actualized.
Mm.
And so what they end up doing is they create the outcome on paper. Sometimes people might want to do it visually, you know, through a visual or vision or inspiration board, but to start making it concrete. And when you start to put the energy into it, whether it be through the written word or the visualization with pictures and images, that energy can start to infect you, you know, affect you with an A, and infect you, and it'll start to override. It can start to override or cancel out any of that naysayer talk or the fear that the people around you or in your circle may not support you, because the vision starts to become more actualized even though you're just writing it out. And I get them to be very specific. I have a client that I'm working with in she's in either Washington or Utah, the state escapes me. But anyway, and she's actually an artist, and that's one of the exercises that we've been doing over the past 12 weeks. And she's been able to take some steps that she never would have been able to do just from doing this written monologue work, and then she also has done some visual work. So that's one thing that people can do. Another thing that I recommend to people is to use affirmations. Affirmations essentially are like an auto-suggestion. Basically, you want to create a positive statement that eventually, and the key word here is eventually, will cancel out a negative thought. And I'm zoning in on the word eventually because I don't know if you had this happen to you, Kathy. Sometimes people start using affirmations, and within 24 hours they say, oh, this doesn't work.
Mm.
You know. I said, well, how long did you use it? Oh, I did it for a day or two. Oh,
right.
I say, really? And you've been thinking the way you've been thinking that's not supportive. You've been thinking that way for 20 years, but you tried something for 2 days and realized you just decided it doesn't work. Well, I think you just want to get back in the game and create a set of affirmations. I actually recommend that people create 5 core affirmations. Because when we are in the late night hours, Kathy, when we're real with ourselves, we know what our core issues are. Exactly.
That's right.
We just naked right there in the midnight hour with our little cup of Kool-Aid or share pipple or whatever it is.
That's right.
We are just being real. So I always recommend folks to create 5 core affirmations that you're going to use every morning and spend 5 minutes engaging with those affirmations. And eventually, everybody knows means over time. Sometimes it's going to be quicker for others and sometimes it's going to be longer for others. It just depends on the individual. Over time, you are going to begin to empower your thoughts. And those thoughts are going to become the momentum. I love the word mojo. They're going to become your mojo momentum. The new empowered thoughts are going to help you to be able to respond to, say, for example, a family member and say, well, you know, I'm willing to try this. This is good for me. This is good for me right now, and I'm going for it. And you'll be able to respond without any hostility, and you're just stating your peace. You're stating your path and moving forward. So I think that was 2. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I really like that. Now, let me ask you another question because I've been sitting here writing while you were talking because you said a few things that I want to ask you. You mentioned that sometimes the opinions of others kind of get in the way of decision-making for individuals, and that's true. You know, our spouse and our parents and our friends and our whoever is in our circle. Why does that matter? I mean, why do you think we, because I've been guilty of that too, so why do we get caught up in what other people think about decisions we make for our lives?
Sure. I think that it stems, first of all, I think from the desire, particularly if it's someone who's close to you, that you don't want to hurt that person. You don't want to let that person down. You have started to value that person's ideas and opinions more than yourself. I have a quote that I share. I have a series of motivation and affirmation mojo quotes that people can actually sign up for and receive one every day, short little tips. And one of them is that I say is, your first service is to yourself. I actually kind of alluded to it at the top of the show. Because if you don't serve yourself first, honestly and completely, then there's nothing else for others to receive. If we spend our time placing more value after a certain age, you know, our parents, what our parents want for us, we are going to lead less happy lives. I didn't say unhappy, but less happy lives. And eventually, less happy goes very quickly toward unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think putting that value in others before we look deep in ourselves and say, this is what's for me. It may not look anything like what my parents have or had or want and so on and so forth. I have a good friend, her niece wants to study dance. She just really loves it. She wants to be in dance. Well, her mom wants her to become a doctor and has just cut the child off from dance. and she's a teenager. And you can just feel it when she talks about it. I mean, Kathy, she gets excited, passion just bubbles up, inspiration. And I just felt like, what a shame. At least give the young woman an outlet to allow this to develop. We don't know what could happen.
Yep.
Placing that value in the other people above ourselves, and also because we love our friends. You know, we love our family. We love them. But we have to take that ownership and say, you know what, I love my mom, I love my sister, I love my husband, but I love me too. I love me just as much.
That's right. And, you know, Denise, I actually have a testimony or experience with that exact situation because for about, oh, it's over 20 years. For over 20 years, I was in a corporate job that I didn't like. I mean, I didn't feel like corporate America was for me. Corporate America is great. It's fantastic. It just wasn't for me. But that's the route that my parents, because I started out very young, out of college, my parents wanted me to go that route. And then my spouse wanted me to stay that route. And I did it for them, even though I wasn't happy for so very long. But I was in the technology industry, and I was making a lot of money. You know, we all get caught up in that money crap. And I was making a lot of money, and they thought it was just fantastic. And I was so excited and happy to make my parents happy, to make my spouse happy, but I wasn't happy. So I was sacrificing my happiness to make them happy. And you're right. I cared more about their opinions than I did about myself because I was actually doing on the side. It was a hobby for me to do life coaching and mentoring, and I was part of Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and I was doing that as a hobby for free because I loved it
so
much.
You were secret.
Yeah.
Secretly pursuing it.
Mm-hmm. I was doing it in secret, but they were like, hey, you can do it as a hobby. That's great, but no, you cannot make a living doing that. No, no, no. And so, you know, eventually I got to the point where I was like, you know, I'm getting older and I'm just not happy doing this. And so I had to take control of my life, and I was teaching these principles, and I was thinking I've got to walk my talk.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. No better way to encourage someone else to become more of themselves than by you becoming more of yourself.
Right. Right. And I tell you, I walked and stared fear right in the face because, of course, I was afraid. I had lots of fear to leave that
to do it anyway.
Absolutely. To leave that financial security, to leave the security of all that tenure, and to leave it all behind. I mean, heck, I worked for IBM Corporation, for God's sake. And to leave that security behind and let it go and step out in the world of the unknown and entrepreneur. And, yes, absolutely, I was terrified.
Right, and I always tell folks, you build your courage by doing what you did, just what you're describing, by stepping out. The way to build courage is to step out and do the thing that you're afraid of. And I actually have a little quote, and a way to conquer fear is to take three steps, first smaller, then larger, then bolder.
That's right.
So you don't leap out, you don't have to do the bold step on the first one. Take a small step. Then as you get your comfort grows in the small step, take a larger step. As that grows, which it will, and just like what you just described to us and shared with us, Kathy, then you took a bold step, and look at you now.
That's right. That's right. And you know, the other thing that, and I mentioned that I'm, you know, studying psychology because I'm just fascinated by the mind, and one of the things that I have discovered in my studies is that the mind is very complex, for one, but the mind is very interesting in that, you know, we have our conscious mind, which is, you know, what makes decisions and evaluates and makes choices, and then the subconscious mind actually just stores information. So everything that we have done over our lifetimes and experienced over our lifetime, and we think about it all the time, when you think about something over and over and over and over and over, eventually it gets stored in your subconscious. So it's stored down there, and so when you start doing something that conflicts with what's stored in your subconscious, let's say you have a belief stored in your subconscious that says you don't like apples, and then you see an apple or you pick up an apple, that's a conflict. And so your subconscious actually responds to that. You know, you start having bodily responses. You may get nervous or anxious or tensed or whatever. But I learned that all of that emotional stuff you're feeling, it's energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's energy. So you could take that energy and use it to your good, or you could take that energy and give in to the anxiety or the emotional stuff that you're experiencing. And the only way to actually get through change is that you're going to have to go through that at some point, because what you currently have stored in your subconscious doesn't do anything but store information, but there's a part of your brain that works to keep order. It works to keep the status quo. So when you try to bring change in, it's going to try to push you back in your comfort zone, because that's just the way the brain works.
Right. You laid it out absolutely accurately. You're absolutely right. And so people, we have to recognize and accept that there will be the transition phase where it's less comfortable, not necessarily uncomfortable, but less
right.
comfortable as we move to a new comfort zone. We're headed into a new space, a new energy zone, a new place. And so the less comfortable is just part of the transition. And so recognizing, accepting, admitting that, you know, will not necessarily make it easier, but you certainly are prepared for it.
Right. Exactly. And it just depends. Initially, I like what you said about those small steps. I love that, because I have to say that what I did was a giant step. And I tell you, I had gotten to the point where I was just so – I had no tolerance left. And I would not recommend getting to that level. So if
yes.
you can take small steps before you get to the, I am totally fed up level – take small steps and just gradually transition into your new whatever, to me that's an easier, a much easier way. And I love your affirmations.
Sure.
I know that works. I'm going to give you an absolute on that one, because that works. I've done it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a, you know, it's so empowering. And, you know, people talk a lot about positive thinking. I, too, believe in positive thinking, but I give a lot more weight to empowered thinking. Empowered thoughts. We don't just want to think positively, because sometimes folks will think positive and, you know, how the law of attraction works. Oh, if I just think positive, something, you know, it's going to be manifested. Well, I have another saying that I use, and that is never practice positive thinking without the positive action of application. Just
mm-hmm.
don't. Because at the end of law of attraction, if you look at the end of the word attraction, you're going to find the word action. There is no law of attraction without taking some kind of action. And those fears they're bound to come up. We're all human beings here, you know, spiritual beings in this human experience. And so take those smaller, then larger, and then bolder steps. Just like folks who lose weight, you know, you can't. If your goal is to lose 30 pounds, you're not going to lose 30 pounds in 2 weeks. That'd be too unhealthy. You have to do it gradually, smaller and larger, and then finally you end up with a bold result.
That's right. And you know, Denise, the other thing, too, for me is that I don't know why, but we live in a microwave society. Everybody wants everything fast. You mentioned the weight loss, because I have a lot of clients who come to me with that desire. And weight loss, they've got to understand it's a mindset. It's a state of mind. It's a lifestyle change. You can't take a pill. Well, I mean, if you want to do that, you'll be trying different pills throughout the rest of your life. Or you can slice up your stomach or have surgery or whatever. But none of that stuff is going to do you any good unless you change the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to change the inside.
I agree.
That's
because
the only one to stick.
Yeah, I agree, because I've known a couple people who did the gastric bypass. One person has started to gain. You know, people think the gastric bypass is, you know, you'll be skinny the rest of your life. No, not necessarily. And one person that has started to gain the weight back, and the recognition is that it is the mindset piece that anyone, I don't know how they do it now, but I would suggest to anybody, if someone's listening, don't get that gastric bypass if you're not also going to get mindset coaching. Just don't do it, because
That's right.
it's just you're running a huge risk of spending all that money, investment, and pain and recovery, and potentially ending up in a position where you would gain that weight back.
Yep. And you know what? You're only talking about the weight gain aspect of it. I don't even want to get into the potential danger pieces of it. You're cutting up organs in your body.
Yes.
What's going to happen as you age?
Yeah, there are some other potential repercussions.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, for someone to consider that, I mean, I would absolutely agree with you that they should get some type of coaching or psychological counseling or therapy or something, because there are going to be some significant repercussions in your life, and it's going to be emotionally, physically, there's going to be lots of different things that are going to hit you. And, you know, the weight gain back is one of them, and then the physical aspects of what you may experience is another one. So I know weight loss is, like, on the top three number one goals that people want to try to accomplish. And the first thing I say about weight loss is you got to love what you currently have first.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I say it starts on the inside. You can't hide it with, you know, I always talk about a comfort zone. Well, Denise, I also talk about comfort clothes, comfort friends, and comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that's in our comfort zone. So you can't hide your body with comfort clothes. You know, you've got to accept what's there first. And, you know, first when you accept what's there, you're willing to look in the mirror, in the news, and know what you have. And embrace it, and then you can accept making a change to it. But, I mean, just to up and change it, and you're changing it because you're trying to make yourself look better on the outside, and you still are miserable on the inside, that never works. Never works.
I agree.
And we know the king of that was Mr. Michael Jackson, and I loved him with all my heart and soul. You know, God rest his soul, but he had everything on the outside of him, but he could not do enough to make himself look like he wanted to look, and it was because he didn't have things together on the inside.
Sure, I'm not privy to, you know, whatever it was that he feels and believes that he encountered and was exposed to that helped to shape who he became, you know, on the inside, and as a result, thought to make physical or outer, you know, alterations to his person. But I have compassion because I understand how painful, living in that kind of sort of a mental grip or bondage, you know, must have been. So I maintain my compassion because it's just not a fun place or space to be in.
I know. Now, Denise, I want to get your thoughts and opinion on media diversions, because I know there are lots of diversions that throw us off track if we have a goal that we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, we do live in an information age, and we live in the 21st century where we have cyber everything. And, you know, there's TV, and then there's radio, and there's cell phones and texting and Blackberries and internet and email and Facebook and MySpace and all kinds of stuff, internet pornography and just you name it, just everything. With all of that stuff diverting our attention, how can we start to wean ourselves away from that?
I could respond in two different ways. One is why? I guess I'll ask a question. Why would one need to wean themselves off of that? Is if you're allowing that to become a diversion from pursuing and achieving, you know, doing the work that would allow you to pursue and achieve your own goal, then certainly you would want to wean yourself off of it. Now, the second response would be, that there is a way to manage media influence, if you will, so that you use it to serve your goals, to serve your desires. I am a I love technology. I think I said this to someone earlier today, how much I enjoy technology. I'm an older person, but I just have grown to really love technology. I love to engage in social media. I obviously use those social media sources for my business. I enjoy having my BlackBerry. I enjoy being able to respond to clients via anywhere that I am because, you know, their emails come to my phone. It, for me, it saves me time. It saves me energy. So I would answer that question in those two ways, but if I haven't really answered the question you wanted to ask, then you of course, rephrase it in some way.
Well, you know, actually you did, and you're absolutely right, actually, in what you said, because it really does depend on how you use it. I think that a lot of the clients who come to me, especially females, a lot of clients who come to me, and they have this opinion of themselves. And I watch the news. I mean, I don't watch it every single day because it's very depressing. I mean, we are in a bad economy, and, you know, suicide rates are up, divorce rates are up, and jobs are down and all those things. And I know that. And when we allow that stuff, the news and all those negative pieces of information to penetrate us and go into our brain filter and store down in our subconscious, it's more negative stuff. But if we can do what you just said, if we can pick and choose, if we can be selective in what we allow to come into our heads, that's better. But getting back to the female clients, a lot of female clients come to me, and they have low self-esteem, and I believe that the media has great influence on that. Because they see a lot of stuff in the media. The media celebrates beauty that looks like A, and they may look like B. And because they don't look like A, they feel like they're not worthy. You know, if they're not blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and a size 2, then they're not worthy. Because the media does not put pictures of size 14 women on any of their advertisements. That doesn't sell. And so that's why I say you have to really kind of filter that stuff out and limit how much interaction you have with the news and TV and all of that stuff because, you know, and you're right, BlackBerrys are good for keeping in touch with your clients and being very responsive because I'm totally into being responsive. But when it comes down to that's your only form of entertainment, the internet and TV and radio and social sites and all that stuff, it just really takes your focus away from whatever it is you may be trying to accomplish.
Yeah, it certainly can have that effect, and that's why I started out with the first version of my response, which was, you know, if it is, and you have to be very honest, if that's taking place, then you want to begin to create some management tools. You may want to use, for example, for Twitter, if you're using Twitter, you might want to use like social oomph or tweet later or something like that to preset tweets. You might want to hire an assistant, create a team if you're in business. Since I work with other coaches, I get this a lot, and people say, oh, how do I, you know, I feel like I'm on social media all the time and everything, and, you know, some people say to me, well, how are you always on? Well, sometimes it's not me. It's my assistant engaging on my account. So, you know, as you grow and develop, you have to, obviously there are going to be different ways in which you manage your time and engage. As far as the self-image of women, certainly one approach is to avoid or to not consume the media images, whether it be via television or print, in a print format, et cetera. But at the same time, you also, and I go back to the word empowerment, I think that women are so well served when you empower yourself, and empowerment is an inside word. It happens from the inside, that no matter what, no matter what image is there, no matter what model they're using, I am beautiful. I am the image of beauty. I am the walking image of beauty. That is me. And that is a space, an inner space of empowerment, so that no matter what I engage with, no matter, you know, what movie I'm watching or whatever, I'm not left with having to feel like less. I was watching I was watching a piece of a reality show. I don't even remember the name of it. But the part that I caught was a young lady saying, oh, I'm better off without, I'd rather be alone because when I get with a guy, I just start thinking, you know, if his phone rings, it must be somebody who's smarter, smaller, and has a better career than me. And I thought, you know what? That's not that – there are those kind of women out there who are smart, small, and have a great career. But that's not that woman's problem. The problem is the person who uttered those words. She has to get into a space, an inner space of empowerment, so that no matter what, no matter if those women are anywhere in the world, she's never feeling like less.
That's right. And now that you mentioned that, let me make a comment about that, because – we know we need to go ahead and go there. Women who feel that they need the acceptance and approval and appreciation of a man to be worthy.
Well, you know,
there's lots of them, and we know it.
Yeah, there are. There certainly are. And I always say that this is for me personally, and I'm not advocating this for anyone. If it works for you, you know, jump on board. But I often say that I don't need a man, but I do want a man. I mean,
yes.
I like men, I desire them, I think, you know, and so on. They're smart,
I agree
and they're so on. So, but when we get into that, and then you said it, phrased it well, you know, that the needing is, you know, comes from that space of having to be validated, and without that person, you know, you're feeling less and so on and so forth. And you know, I think we've had a lot of movement in our society, you know, as women have sort of, you know, risen in the ranks. There has been some movement in our society of acceptance, but, you know, we do, you know, when we get the different books, you know, that come out, you know, years back it was The Rules, and, you know, and folks kind of got into a tizzy, and now we have, I think it was Think Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, Act Like a Lady, or something like that.
Yes.
Was the book. And I didn't read the book, but I did have friends who read it, and I just simply said, I don't know if you read it or whomever, but I just simply said that I don't often read books like that because I feel that they are too formulaic, because when you engage with a human being, and a human being comes with wonderful diversity and complexity and specificity and individuality, and being authentic in my own self and space, and that person, you know, hopefully being authentic, we're going to figure out our sort of rule, if you will, together.
Right. That's right. I like
that. That's just me.
I agree with you. I agree with everything you said. I'm in that exact same spot. I absolutely don't need a man to validate or complete me at all. But it's nice to have. It's a nice to have. Now, I think that's the best time to be in a relationship, when you don't really have to be in a relationship. You don't care. I mean, it'd be nice. If you don't have it, it's good. If you do have it, it's good. Either way, you know, because
sure.
I feel
yeah.
like I don't really have a lot of time to waste. I love my work so much, Denise. I love what I do so much that whoever I'm in a relationship with, it would have to be someone who I align with on a spiritual level. I'm not looking just for a relationship for relationship's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot
sure.
of people
because,
do. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Wanting companionship, you know, is a good thing. Wanting to have that quality of communication that comes with companionship and the spiritual connection that comes along with it, a level of heightened engagement that can come with it. You know, those are valuable things to desire and to want, yet, you know, those are different than needing something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also I mentioned I love my work and I love my life, and actually I use that as a very simple affirmation. And I've read somewhere, I don't remember where I read it, but I read it somewhere, that affirmations, I mean, when you just think something in your head right now, if Denise, I'm talking to you, if you were to just let the thought go across your mind that I'm beautiful, Just say that to yourself. I'm beautiful. If you are lying in bed, and let's say you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you start counting sheep, instead of counting sheep, if you just say that affirmation in your head, I read somewhere that it helps to get it into your subconscious quicker.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Whatever you lay down as your last thought, will help you.
It's kind of like the hypnosis thing. I don't really know how that works.
Right. Well, because it's auto-suggestion. It's called an auto-suggestion.
And your conscious mind is halfway quieted down because your conscious mind has to get out of the way before you can get it into your subconscious. So if you can do that in a half sleep state, you know, half awake and half sleep, and you can, you know, do that. And I'm always conscious of that. And when I first wake up in the morning, I'm still half asleep. I immediately, I think I've trained my brain to do that now. But I immediately jump to an affirmation. I am a spiritual and mental magnet, attracting to myself all things that bless me. It just jumps in my head now.
Yeah, well, you've trained yourself, you know, and we do have to train ourselves to, whether you're using affirmations or you're using meditation as a space to get into deep affirmation, it does come with training. I often recommend to people who are having problems with maintaining their motivation, believe it or not, I recommend that they practice meditation. Practice meditation, deep conscious thought for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, and then use it as a space of clearing the conscious mind, the chatter, the hubbub, and so on that can get in our way, so that you can use that quiet space or that quiet time as a framework to do your affirmation work.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. That was actually what I was going to read. So we are on the same wavelength. I love that. To stay motivated, because sometimes I know there are individuals who do a very good job trying to, you know, do their affirmations and keeping those things in line. So we know life happens, and we do live in a human body, so we try to be as spiritual as we can, but we do live in the flesh. So what are some things they can do to stay motivated, and can you give a easy description over the phone of how to meditate?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that first. I'll do the meditation one first.
Okay.
So what I recommend is, first of all, to just be comfortable. I recommend people meditate as soon as they wake up in the morning. If you have the urge to go to the bathroom, go ahead. But if you don't, stay in the bed. But sit up. Lean against your headboard. Anything to be relaxed. If you don't want to stay in the bed because you might fall asleep, then get into a chair, a really easy chair, that you can put your feet flat on the floor and just rest your hands on the top of your knees. Really comfortable. And you're just going to first just focus on your breath. You're going to take a nice breath in through your nose and sort of inhale in, and then kind of let it just ease out through your mouth, nice and slow. You want to let your belly kind of blow up like a little balloon, not a huge one. And you're just going to focus on your breath for several intakes, inhales and exhales, inhale and exhale, inhale and exhale, just slowly and calmly, allowing yourself to just stay relaxed. You're going to do that for, sometimes people have a little clock, but after a while you'll get used to about a minute or two has passed. And then you're going to allow yourself to begin to focus in on your affirmation. For example, you might use an affirmation, we'll use the one that you said earlier, I am beautiful, I am safe, I am complete, I am whole. Short little affirmations. I'm safe, I'm beautiful, I'm complete, I am whole. And allow yourself to just continue to focus on your breath as you allow those thoughts to come in your mind. I'm safe, I'm beautiful, I am complete, I am whole. I and the universe are one, or if you want to use God, I and God are one. God's energy is within me. We're made in the image of God, so whatever is in God is in us. Just only separated by the degree. We don't have the same power as God because that'd be impossible. We're just a small, like a drop of a big ocean, you know, if we want to use that analogy. And so to allow that experience to wash over you calmly, peacefully. The biggest complaint that people have or concern is that my mind won't quiet down. Well, just like you said earlier, Kathy, the reason why is because the mind seeks to maintain status quo. And if your status quo is to have a chattery mind, your mind is going to try to insist that that happen. So there's the word eventually. again. Eventually, as you retrain yourself 5 minutes a time every day, you are going to, eureka, one day, that chattery mind is going to have become disciplined and it will begin to go away. It's not going to happen on day two. It may not happen on day 10, but be willing to give yourself the time and the space to allow that miracle to take place. So that's just a really simple silent meditation. You're not going to speak out loud or anything. You can do meditation walking. You can do meditation where you do it in a pattern. It's like following like a labyrinth or something. You can do meditation where you actually speak. You know, you utter your affirmations, so on. So hopefully that helps your listeners.
Well, I can tell you that it's true. Every single thing you said, everyone who is listening to Denise's voice and my show, whether you're listening to the archive downloads or listening live right now, it's absolutely true, because when I was in corporate America, well, when I stepped out of corporate America as I was going through that transition, it was very difficult for me, and it was difficult to the point where I had accumulated so much fear that I started having panic attacks just all up out of the blue. They would just hit me, anxiety attacks or whatever you want to call them. And I was determined I was not going to get on medication. I said, that's not going to happen, because I went to the doctor, and, of course, you know, the doctor says, well, we can put you on some medication. So I had read somewhere that if you teach yourself how to relax, you know, skilled relaxation and meditation, that you could get that fixed. So I did that, and I did that twice a day, and it took me about 4 months.
Right.
And it started gradually easing. And the more I did it, it took me about 4 months doing it twice a day. And the more I did it, the easier it became. And now I pretty much have worked up to doing it at least 5 times a day, at least, sometimes more.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do it and don't even know I'm doing it, because it's just automatic. Like I said,
yeah,
if I wake up in the middle of the night, the first thing to jump in my head is that affirmation. I'm like, where'd that come from? And that's because it's stored in my subconscious.
Right. And you
I just
as you retrain yourself to do something that's more empowering for you, subsequently you end up with an empowered state of being. And it becomes automatic. And like you said, the affirmation jumps in your head. It's easier for you to get into a meditative, calm, relaxed state. And the wonderful residual effect is that even if you just practice a meditative state for 5 minutes with affirmation work, honey child, the benefits last all day.
They sure do. They sure do.
They do.
And I want you guys to know that you've got to be willing to go through that uncomfortable period. Because you've got that uncomfortable period when your brain is working against change. Because remember, now we said the brain works to keep the status quo, because it knows who you are, it knows how you operate. So when you try to consciously bring in a change, it's going to say, "Oh no, that's not what's stored down in here. We don't want that."
Sure.
So it's going to, you know, try to push you back in your comfort zone. So you're going to have to push through that.
So you asked me about how people can stay motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, there are literally hundreds of tricks to the trade. But I'm going to share just a few tips that I feel are kind of tried and true.
Okay.
And the first one is to, first of all, I recognize that there are 7 key goal areas. Most people are not familiar with this. There are 7 key goal areas, and I'm going to share those with your listeners, and then I'm going to ask them to decide, in terms of a hierarchy, what areas do they want to work on goals first. The 7 key goal areas are relationship, career, leisure, finances, personal includes like relationships and engagements with friends and hobbies and things of that nature. The 6th is contribution or giving, service, and the last is health. There are 7 key goal areas. Figure out what do you want to focus on first in terms of the hierarchy? For example, maybe you want to work on the area of relationship. And relationship can cover a relationship with a mate or a spouse or, say, close, intimate relationships with family and friends. What do you want to improve in that area, or what do you want to strengthen? Maybe it's finances. I set a goal for myself to save $20,000 this year, and we're almost at the half-year mark, and I'm on target to meet that goal, and I'm just super excited. So when we set a goal, we recognize the seven key areas, and then we say, oh, I'm going to at least strive for one goal in the seven areas, but then I'm going to put these areas in a hierarchy. So I've been focusing on finances like crazy. That has helped me to stay focused and specific, and I'm not feeling like I'm all over the place or getting into, you know, people get sucked into the vortex of overwhelm. Well, it's because you haven't created enough order in your life. The brain loves status quo because the brain loves order.
Yes, it does.
Recognize the seven key goal areas, set at least one goal, and then put those goals in a hierarchy. And if you find that you need to shift them around, then you can do that because you've been very conscious. You've been very conscious about what it is you need to do. Number two, use a vision or an inspiration board. You probably use these as well, Kathy. They're marvelous tools for helping folks to stay motivated. The greatest motivation comes from our inner life or intrinsic motivation. The studies have found that it works with employees, it works with children, it works with, you know, our mates, intrinsically motivated. There's a wonderful book out that I recommend to your listeners by Daniel Pink. Daniel Pink wrote a new book called Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. Now, his other book, which was a New York Times bestseller, is called A Whole New Mind, and lots of people have been talking about that. There's some work in A Whole New Mind on motivation, but Drive talks at length about intrinsic motivation. Using a vision or inspiration board will help you to visualize what it is you want to do. What is the final outcome that you want to or hope to achieve? Like I talked about at the beginning of the show, doing the monologue writing or the visioning. Using that, I have three different vision boards personally, myself. I use these tools for myself. I have one that's specific to my business, one that's for my personal life, and one that's specific for a book project that I'm working on and moving into the publishing phase, working with an agent and so on. So it just helps tremendously. Number three, and then I'll segue from here, is keep an idea journal. I know people have heard about keeping journals. You know, say, oh, I'm going to write in my journal. I'm going to have a gratitude journal. Wonderful. What about an idea journal? Keep an idea journal. I have my idea journal out actually right here next to me. It's beautiful. It's gold with some embossing on it and some other colors. In the journal itself is something that inspires me. But it's a book where when I get an idea, I can jot it down in there and I can start to brainstorm and create some elasticity around the idea because it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be fixed. I just need to explore it. And just having that idea journal right here, some of these ideas never come into fruition. Some of them do, but I'm not judging the ideas. I'm simply engaging with them and exploring them and, again, making them elastic.
I love that. Absolutely love it. That's great. That's really good. And you know, everything you said is just right on, Denise, because I realized or I've learned since I've been studying the mind and psychology that the subconscious actually does not know the difference between a vision and reality.
Right.
It
yep.
has no clue. It just knows that if you're seeing something in your mind, and that's one reason that we have bodily responses to our thoughts and our vision, because the subconscious doesn't know it's just a vision. You may have, you know, your heart may start beating fast if you envision a negative encounter that you have. Maybe you have a meeting coming up with your boss, and you start thinking about that meeting, and your heart starts beating fast, and you may go into an anxiety attack.
Right, you're absolutely right, and the subconscious mind is just. I always refer to it as a computer database.
Yeah.
You know, a computer database doesn't reject things. If I click save, and there's no virus in there, it just saves it. It just does.
Right.
It just says, okay, wow. I could have typed nonsense in that Word document. The computer doesn't care. It's just symbols. It says, yes, it'll save it. Subconscious does the same thing. It doesn't really care. If I'm feeding it, it's just saving it right into the hard drive of my subconscious system and storing it for me and saying, well, this is what you gave me, and if you want there to be something different in this hard drive, you've got to replace it. You've got to put something in there to replace the stuff you don't want. And so I think that reality is something that I hope all people listening to this call will grasp, will accept and do the work that is in their capacity to do to make the kinds of changes that will get them to live a life that reflects their deepest desires.
And you know, Denise, I'm going to say this. Sometimes it's a little controversial. And, you know, for my listeners, they know sometimes I tread on grounds that, you know, it's a little edgy. So I'm going to go ahead and say this because I've said it before in some of my presentations. But just to give you an example, a positive example of how the subconscious doesn't know the difference in a vision and reality and image, is that we all believe in Jesus Christ, or I know I believe in Jesus Christ, but we've never met him face to face. But we have seen his image in our mind over and over and over and over and over and over and over the years, and because of that, we created a belief as a result of it. And our actions and our behaviors follow that belief. We go to church, we read our Bible, we go to Sunday school, we pray as a result of that belief, and that's how you can use the same process to create your goals.
Mm.
You could use that same
process. Right.
Well, and I know that's a little controversial because a lot of people don't like me using Jesus Christ. Sometimes they love the example. They love the example. But you've never met him. I've seen so many different images of Jesus Christ. I've seen black Jesus, white Jesus, straight-haired Jesus, curly-haired Jesus, red-haired Jesus. I mean, and the point is, you have your image. That's the point. You have your image, which is what created your belief, and then your actions and your behaviors followed because you're committed. You are committed to that belief, right?
Sure.
You're committed to that belief. So when you create, you have to see it. A lot of people say, oh, I believe it when I see it, but you actually have to see it before you believe it.
Absolutely.
You see it over and over and over, and then it creates a belief, and then your actions, and depending on how committed you are to that belief, your actions and behaviors will follow suit.
Sure, and we do it all the time. You know, we're planning a vacation. I've never been to Jamaica, but sure, I got a bunch of images in my mind, so I'm going to put a bikini or a swimsuit in my bag just because my image says there's
That's
a beach
right.
there, and I'm going to, so we do it all the time.
Absolutely, we sure do. And, you know, Denise, I knew we were going to have a fantastic conversation. We're coming up on our last 60 seconds, and you have been a wonderful guest. Go ahead and give your contact information, your website. I want to make sure our listeners get that.
Absolutely. You can reach me on my blog. That's the best thing, www.motivatedmindsetcoach.com. And if you want to sign up to get your free daily Motivation Mojo tip, visit www.365daysofmotivation.com.
Outstanding. Excellent, excellent. And Denise, I'm going to let you take us out with just your final words of motivation for our listeners. Denise Hart, you have been wonderful.
Oh, thank you. It has been such a delight to be here with you guys tonight. And I'm just going to leave you with this final thought. You have got to want more out of life. Want more. Don't settle for less. Stay connected to your deep passion, your deep desire, because when you do that, your first service is to yourself. That's when you get what you can to offer out to others, and they can benefit.
Fantastic. You heard it from Denise Hart. She has been our guest this evening, and she has done a magnificent job. Thank you so much, Denise.
See you on the other side.
Absolutely. We are signing off for now, and I will see everyone next week on the Living by Design show. Good night, everyone.